Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. While some argue about speaking in tongues, there's one gift of tongues all believers should have, the gift of a tongue controlled by the Holy Spirit, a tongue that always edifies and never tears down. Today, more details on the gift of tongues, plus guidance on keeping our own tongues in check. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series that tells us what happens when God is first. He's teaching us from Acts chapter 2 that God owns our tongues and wants to turn them from being sources of cursing to blessing.
Let's talk now about the control of our tongues and what this means for us. You read the New Testament and you discover that this battle for the tongue is almost on every page of the New Testament. Because on the one hand, Satan wants to control people's tongues. And in the New Testament, we have stories of Jesus going to those who were inhabited by spirits, and the spirits spoke through people's tongues. You say, does that happen today? Yes, that happens today. I've heard people speak under the inspiration and the control of demonic spirits. It happens today. It happens today in all the different religions of the world. Tongues is a phenomena that can be found in many, many pagan cultures. So on the one hand, you have the devil who wants to control your tongue. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I'm sure glad that I don't have a demon in me. I'm glad you don't. But now we're getting to pay dirt. You still may be doing the devil's work for him, though. You know, there's an interesting passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Don't turn to it, but just listen to it. Paul is giving credentials for those who are in the church. And he's talking about deacons. And then he says, likewise their wives, he says, should behave themselves and not be, now the NIV translates it, malicious talkers. I think the King James, if I remember correctly, says the wives should not be slanderers. I understand those are good translations, but I want to introduce you today as to what the original text says. It says in Greek that the wives should not be diabolos, devils. The word devil means slanderer. Now, I want you to know today that where the devil cannot go, he sends an angry, critical, insecure Christian to do his work. Satan wants to use our tongues to destroy, to debilitate, to divide, to alienate, to self-justify. And it's possible for us to do his work for him. Have you ever met a critical person? Somebody who's always critical? What really is happening within them is this. They're saying, spiritually, I'm a pygmy. And what I want to do is to make sure that everybody around me knows that they are pygmies too. And if I cut everybody else down, I will look just a little taller. I will look just a little bit more righteous in their eyes. And so here I am. Years ago, they made ink pens, fountain pens, and the fountain pen had on the box, when it flows too freely, it is a sign that it is nearly empty. Do you keep that in mind? Someone has said that God has given us two ears and one tongue so that we might listen twice as much as we speak. We're just dishing out all kinds of wisdom here today. A man by the name of A.B. Simpson, who was a pastor in New York, frequently was criticized for his theology, criticized for his methodology, but he founded an important denomination. But this is what he said on one occasion. I would rather play with forked lightning or take into my hands live wires than to speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ or idly repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling on others to the hurt of their own souls and their own bodies. He was criticized in the media by another minister. The newspapers would pick up the story of the criticism of the other minister. And when that other minister fell into immorality, someone came and showed A.B. Simpson the headlines and said, "Look at your opponent. Look at what happened to him." A.B. Simpson looked at the headline and with tears in his eyes said only this, "Oh, how much he must have been tempted." Let's talk for a moment about the submission of your tongue to God. James says that the tongue is set on fire of hell. The devil wants it. And Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And how easy it is to reveal what is in our minds and hearts through our tongues. And if we are insecure and jealous and angry at our role in life, how we will lash out and how we will speak. And as I mentioned, it is set on fire of hell. Could I say this to you lovingly? I hope that this message isn't too harsh. I'm always worried about being too harsh. Am I doing okay here up there? Phil and Ma think it's all right. So that passes muster with two people, maybe three. What some of you need to do is to go home. Just get on your knees and stay there as long as you need to stay there to empty your hearts of the venom and the hell that makes you a critical person, a diabolos. And then what all of us need to do is to pray the words of Scripture. Oh God, set a watch before my tongue, guard the door of my lips. And we ought to pray, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good to the use of edifying. We're talking about making God first. And last time we spoke about what it means to give him our hearts and to be filled with the Spirit. Today we're speaking about giving him our tongues, which really means we are giving him our hearts, because that's the fountain where it all begins. And we say today, God, you gave me this tongue. Help me to use it for wholesome words, words that build up, words that help, words that heal the wounds rather than make the wounds. Oh God, I surrender my tongue to you. And then what we need to do is to learn to practice righteousness and sharing the good news with our tongues that God gave you. Some of you, God bless you, you've been Christians for many years and you haven't told anybody at work where you work on tomorrow morning. Nobody knows that you're a Christian. And you say, well, Pastor Luther, I don't know how to begin a conversation with anybody. I mean, how do I do it? Well, let me give you an idea. How about going to someone tomorrow and saying, you know, I've known you for so many years, and I have a question I want to ask you. What do you really want out of life? And then just listen to them talk. And after they've talked a little bit and you've asked a few other questions that are important, then what you do is to say, would you mind if I were to share with you something that somebody once shared with me? Who's going to say no to that? If it was something good for you, then why isn't it good for me? And then what you do is say, you know what I discovered, once they say yes, because you do need their permission. You know what I discovered? That I can't fix my relationship with God on my own. And then let me tell you about what Jesus did. And you folks who are in evangelism explosion, you're ahead of everybody on this point. And you know, I told you that we were going to do what Acts chapter 2 did miraculously. We are going to do it naturally. Did you know that in evangelism explosion today, even as we heard, we have people who speak Spanish. We also have people who speak Mandarin. And we are branching out to all the different language groups we'd be able to like to in the city of Chicago, all of them using their mouths, their tongues, to share with others the wonderful good news of God. Isn't that wonderful? when God has our tongues, what we can do here in this city? I end today with this challenge. It is possible for our tongues to be either set on fire of hell, the venom, the criticism, the anger, or it's also possible for our tongues to be set on fire by heaven. And what we want to invite ourselves to do today is God would enable us to say, Lord, you've given me this tongue and I've misused it and I've hurt people. You go to them and you ask their forgiveness and you make it right and you say, oh God, from now on, as best as I can, control my heart that I might be able to control my tongue, that I might use it for the way in which you intended. It is mighty. It is powerful to destroy or to heal or to help. But today we say, Father, this tongue is yours.
You know, I've often contemplated the words of Jesus, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you stop to think of it, that indeed which comes out of our mouth is a reflection of what is in our hearts. I want to ask you today a very personal question. Are there times in your life when you have misused your tongue? I think we would all confess to that. But it's so important going forward that we make sure that our tongues are means of healing rather than means of destruction, that our anger is contained, and that we recognize so often when we lash out at people that it really means that we have a problem of evil within our own hearts. So let's take time to examine our hearts, to find out what's going on there, so that we might speak words of blessing rather than words that hurt. I'm holding in my hands a book entitled Be Joyful. It has to do with the book of Philippians. It's actually written by Pastor Warren Wiersbe. Dr. Wiersbe was the pastor before I had the privilege of becoming the pastor of the Moody Church here in Chicago. One of the things that I appreciate so much about his writing is that he is very clear, very readable, always writing, remembering that he is talking to people whose lives he wants to see changed. For a gift of any amount, we're making this book available for you, and I want to emphasize that this is the last week we're making this offer. So take advantage of it. Remember, even as we contemplate all of the bad news around us, the only way in which we can live with a sense of joy is to remember that we belong to God, we are indwelt by the Spirit, and we need not take on the attitudes and the moods of the world. I think you'll be blessed and you'll appreciate this resource.
Erwin Lutzer has now concluded a message on He Owns Our Tongues, the second in his series, When God Is First, taken from the Book of Acts. Next time we'll learn that God not only owns our tongues, but also owns our allegiances. Be sure to join us then. Paul the Apostle found joy in a prison cell. Could we? Former pastor Warren Wiersbe wrote a book on how we, like Paul, can be joyful despite our circumstances. A copy is waiting for you as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about Be Joyful. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.